Great to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's a lot cooler in here than it was on Wednesday, so that's really nice. Let's go over to the book of John. We began the book of John last week, last Sunday morning, and we identified a few things. One big thing we identified is the fact that he is so unique from the other gospel accounts in that the other gospel accounts, they wrote for different reasons and different purposes. But John's account, he wrote to those who are already believers, they're already Christians. And so this account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus was penned for the purpose of people who already know all of these things, who believe and live by faith in these things. And John's point is to share things that haven't been discussed before, haven't been discussed by Matthew or Mark or Luke, to share things about the life of Christ that was largely unknown in the circulation of the gospel accounts in the first century to those of faith so that they would gain a stronger faith, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we talked about those things, and then we got a little bit into John chapter 1 and this incredible parallel he draws to the creation account in Genesis 1. And we're definitely going to be seeing a lot of those things still today as we continue to move through all of this. We looked at the first three verses of John chapter 1. Yes, first three verses where he had begun with saying, in the beginning, just like Genesis 1:1 also begins that way. And so we see that parallel. We're immediately made aware of that parallel of the creation account as John is moving forward from the creation account and showing how God created the world that was now the old world, and now with the coming of Christ to the earth, he is bringing light once again. He is creating a new world as the prophets pointed to Christ and his salvation, and they continually made comments of the concept of a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And so we saw a lot of those things last week. So let's pick up there in verse 4 of John chapter 1. In verse 4, it says, in him, in context, referring to Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning in verse 4. It's just one verse, but there's so much here to contemplate and consider, especially in reflection to the creation account in Genesis 1. To see what John is dealing with and talking about, this concept of life and light is so critical. It's something that was taught to us in Genesis 1, all right? From the very beginning of the Bible, this concept of light and life is discussed, and now John is bringing it up again with speaking similarly, or really in the same way as the Genesis account, because all of this light and life that was brought in Genesis 1 was brought because of Jesus. That's what he had said in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And so light and life was brought originally onto this planet from the Word of God that came through the mouth of Christ, the breath of Christ. But now John is going to be taking these things further into the spiritual applications, and it's astounding to me when we look back at the old Genesis account and we think, oh, this is the creation of a physical world. Yes, it is, but it has everything to do with the spiritual, all right, and with a relationship with God. In fact, the creation of the world was all about having a relationship with God. That was the purpose of this globe and the purpose of our existence on this earth was for man to have fellowship with his Creator. And so the fact that Jesus came to the earth because man broke that fellowship with the Creator in sin, we see the connection here of how Jesus arriving to the earth in the first century has everything to do with the very beginnings and the purposes of the creation of the world. Let's take a look at the concepts of light and life back in Genesis chapter 1, where we see in verse 1, it said, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." We can all quote that. In verse 2, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." It is so fascinating to me that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, that there was darkness first. In fact, after light is brought to the scene, we see in verse 5, he says, "God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day." You know, we think of our day as in, you know, morning to evening, you know, day to night. That's a day. No, in the beginning it wasn't so. The evening and the morning, darkness. Darkness was there first. So you have the evening, you had the darkness first, and then you had the morning. The morning was when Christ said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So what happened on day one? He says this was the first day. What happened on day one exactly? People say, "Oh, let there be light happen." Light was the first day. That's not what the text says. That's part of what the text says, but that's not the whole thing. Notice the whole here, when it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." In verse 3, we see the connection when he says, "Then God said, let there be light." And so day one specifically is the creation of the heavens and the earth, which was still without form and void. And day one was also light. So the very first day, the day that the heavens and earth were created, it was an evening, so to speak. It was an evening and it was dark. The heavens and the earth were created. All the matter, we'll talk about that in a second, all the matter that's going to make up us and the animals and the plants and everything, the sun, the moon, all of that, the things in the heavens, the things that are on earth that we see today, all that matter was created on day one in the evening, and the morning struck the moment the Word said, "Let there be light." The moment that Jesus, the Word, said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the evening, the darkness to the light, evening to the morning, was the first day. Let's look at this a little bit closer into the old Hebrew. Now, up here on the board is a interlinear of the Hebrew to the English. And to make this even easier on us, I put this in the English order. You know, as in the Hebrew, it's the words are, you know, completely different. Same as any other language. You know, you look at Spanish, you know, in English we put things in totally different ways, totally different orders. But so this is just to make it easier on us. But you see the Hebrew above each of the English equivalents, okay, word equivalents. So you have, "In the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth." All right. Now, I put a dash here with before God and before the word "the earth," there is a particle that was not translated into the English versions because it cannot be translated into English. It's just untranslatable. And there's a lot of unknowns and wonders about this really interesting particle that is before the word "God" in the Hebrew, and it's before the word "the earth," the creation of the earth. But what's fascinating about it is this letter here and here is the letter Aleph in Hebrew, and this letter is the letter Tav. Now, Hebrew is read from right to left, all right? Instead of English is left to right. So this is the first letter of the word. That's the second letter. So Aleph Tav. Now, what's fascinating about these two letters is that Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Tav is the last letter of the ancient Hebrew alphabet. So what we have here is this combination of a completely untranslatable concept into English that is here in the Old Hebrew before God is this Aleph Tav particle. Now, what seems to be suggested here, and I think is evident from the evidence of the text and the context in the book of Genesis chapter 1, is that this word, Aleph to Tav, all right, and we see this later on in Hebrew. We definitely see it all throughout, well, not all throughout the New Testament. We do see it in the New Testament in the Greek. They did the same thing, and then we still do it today. It's so interesting, human nature and the way that we use the alphabet letters, right? We say A to Z, you know. There's all kinds of books in the library, you know, gardening, A to Z, or, you know, that's kind of been changed to 101 nowadays or something. But, you know, A to Z, the complete. The Hebrews and the Greeks did the same thing. Aleph to Tav, or in the Greek, the Alpha to the Omega. All right, and we'll see that in the book of Revelation. He makes use of that concept as well. Aleph to Tav, Alpha to Omega, A to Z, it all means the same thing, and we all understand it. And that's essentially what's going on here in Genesis 1:1, is that we have an all-encompassing God and His creation, which is complete. And so verse 1 of, this is day 1 of the creation. We have the heavens and the earth created from Aleph to Tav, right? From A to Z, all the matter, the whole sum, the whole substance of all things that will be. It was still without form, right? The next verse will tell us it was without form and void. But the whole sum of all that will be in the next few days of creation happens there on day one. From Aleph to Tav, God created the whole sum of matter on that day, unformed and void. It'll all be put together in beautiful design as the days go on. But day one was all matter and created, and then light was created as well. We see the writer of Hebrews making this point as well, Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What he's pointing out here is that let there be light was not the first word ever uttered, right? He's telling us that the whole of the worlds, okay, the heavens and the earth, including what we find in Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. The worlds, the writer of Hebrews says, including the earth, including the heavens, including all the realms and all things we don't even know about, all the worlds came about by the word of God. So let there be light, of necessity, was not the first word spoken. It's the first recorded word spoken in creation. But the forming of all the matter into existence, the whole sum and substance of it all, happened also in the beginning before let there be light happen. And these things, according to the scriptures, were also brought onto the scene by the word of God. He goes on to make a point that I wonder what it meant when he originally wrote this. Because all I see is Darwin and evolution and all this refuted in the very last statement of Hebrews 11:3. He says, so that the things which are seen, okay, what we can see, the heavens, the earth, were not made by the things that are here, that appear visible to us. He's pointing out that we didn't come from this matter that is already here. We didn't start to form out of a rock, you know? We didn't all come from something that we can visibly see now, or we can cut into the earth's crust or what have you. We came from this, and you know, we evolved out of these things. No, the things that we can see, he says, did not evolve. All right, they did not evolve from this physical substance of the earth. They were created and formed and framed by God, by the Word. So let's go back to Genesis 1 for a moment. So in the beginning, day one, God created God from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z, created the heavens and the earth, all the sum and substance of matter. But the earth was still, in verse 2, without form and void. You look at the definitions of these words, it's kind of interesting. These are almost pleasant words, without form and void. That's a nice way of saying it, but it can also be translated, it was desolate and a waste. Isn't that interesting? The word void there, it was waste. It is not fit for the purposes of what God created it for. Of course, he's not done with the creation, right? But we see that the earth, at this point, you notice it's completely engulfed in water. There's no dry land. There's no life. Zero life whatsoever. No plants, trees, no grass, nothing. So there's no man. And man is the reason for it all. That relationship, that fellowship of the Creator with man is the reason for the heavens and the earth. And so it's interesting. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face. How fascinating is this to have these kinds of words being used in the very first sentences of the Bible? Without form, void, you know, desolate, and darkness. These are all words that just are not descriptive of God. Right? They are not something we find anywhere else to be descriptive of God. We find order and we find design and we find light in God, not darkness and desolation and voidness. You know, that is not it whatsoever. But again, this is just the beginning. He just created the matter and he's about to create light. So notice that there's no form, that there's no form, that's void, there's darkness, but all of this comes before light. The Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now notice here that God didn't say, let there be a sun and a moon and a stars. That doesn't happen. There is no sun. There is light. Day two comes around, still no sun. We have the separation of the expanse on day two. Day three, still no sun. We have all food matter. All right? All food brought to life on the earth. The grass, the plants, the herbs, the trees, the fruits. All right? This was going to be the food for all man and all animal. Right? Remember, until after the flood of Noah, God told man, it wasn't until that God told man that they were allowed to partake of animals. So before that time, what God created on day three is all food for the animals and for mankind. Now, day four comes around, and finally, there is a sun and a moon and the stars on day four. Why not a sun in the beginning? Why not a source of light in the beginning? Well, clearly there was a source of light here. I mean, there is light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was no sun. It's very fascinating. Where is this light, and where did it come from? Well, notice back in John, in our discussion of John, in chapter 1 and verse 4 again, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In him, in God, in Christ, inside of him, in his being, he says, there was life. So at this point, the only life there is God. In the beginning, and even with the creation of all this matter on day one, there is just God. In him is life. He is life. He is existence. He is eternal. He goes on to say, and that life is the light of men. So in Jesus, in the Word of God, there is light. It was within him. So this is where the light comes from when he says, "Let there be light." This is from God. It was already within him. And now it is exposed, it is manifested across the entire globe. Let there be light. And so that is day one. It's interesting to see this play out throughout the biblical record. When you look at the images given of the church, the figurative images given of the church in the in the book of Revelation, we see similar concepts. Revelation 21, verse 23, when John is describing the kingdom of God that was restored to a worthy people in the first century, the Christians, the church, those who did in fact follow Christ. Instead of the Jewish people, the kingdom was stripped from them. Jesus says, the kingdom will be stripped from you. It'll be given to people who are actually bearing the fruits of the kingdom, who are bearing the fruits of God. And here is that restored city to those who bear the fruits of God. And notice the beautiful description there in Revelation 21, 23. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated the Lamb, Jesus, is its light. We don't need a sun in Genesis 1 for there to be light. We don't need the sun as the source of light. What Genesis 1 has taught us all along is that God's Word, which is the Word, the breath of Christ, God's Word is light. There was no need to create a sun in the very beginning in order to have a source of light. Jesus opening his mouth saying, "Let there be light," and there was light because it was in him. And the light was manifested throughout the whole globe. And here again we see similar concepts in Revelation 21. The city had no need of the sun or the moon. Why? Because the city of God, okay, the kingdom of God, the church, the Christians, walk by what light? Now, we don't walk by the light of the sun. The world does, right? They walk by the light of the sun. They walk by the light of the moon. We walk by the light of the Lamb. We walk by His Word. The Word is the light. What he breathed out that day is the light that was inside of him. The Lamb is the light. And it's still true today for us. The nations see it in verse 24 of Revelation. I love this text. The nations of those who are saved walk in this light. They walk in the Word of God, the same breath. All right? We breathe in that same breath. The inspiration of Scripture in our daily life, this is what we follow. The nations of those who are saved walk by the light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into the city of God, the church. Its gates are not shut at all by day. There's no night there, all right? No one's walked out. Anyone can come in. Day or night, they can come in. There's no night because there's no darkness. There's no darkness in the Word of God by which we live by. Verse 26, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So in this restored kingdom that Christ accomplished for us, the church, we see here that this is where we live, this is how we live as well. This is all figurative depictions of our fellowship with God and His Son. And Revelation is not the first to make this point. Isaiah, he's really just quoting Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied of what would happen when Jesus came in the first century and brought salvation down to us. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended." So what we find with what John is teaching here in verse 4 of chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man," we see how he's pulling all this together back from Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. There was no sun. God's Word is the source of light. That's the true light, and it's eternal light. The sun is not an eternal light. In fact, what's interesting is every day the sun departs, so to speak. You know? But what we see, like in Isaiah 60 and Revelation 21, with our relationship with God, he says there's no night. There's no ceasing of the light of the Word of God in our lives, is the point that he's making. So, for back in Genesis, we see God teaching these elementary principles about what is necessary for life, physical life, spiritual life, is God's Word. What is needed for sustenance, for survival, for life, is God's Word. I find it so fascinating. We look today, we see the plants, we see all the food, all the fruit on the vines and on the trees, and we think, we know, scientifically, we know, well, this is from the sun. There'd be no life without the sun, right? We wouldn't have any food, no food for us, no food for the animals. We'd have nothing if we didn't have the sun. Our lives would come to an end. There'd be no life on the earth without that sun shining. But how fascinating is it that God taught us something on day three when He created all food substances before He created the sun? The sun came the next day. But all that sprouted forth and came up that day, the trees, the fruits, the berries, the vines, the herbs, all the good things that God has created for us to eat, all these things came up that day, and there was no sun. Jesus pointed something out, quoting from the Law of Moses. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Every word. Live. Live on every word. God did not need a sun to bring forth the good grain from the earth. God only needed His Word to bring out that life. God did not need a sun as a source to bring light to this earth and therefore life to this earth. God only needed His Word to say, "Let there be light." So, it's interesting when you look at the sun created on day four. The emphasis really relies on the idea that it's going to give us times of day, it's going to give us seasons, you know, all those kinds of things. And that's one of the great emphases of the creation of the Son in that way. But God is the source of light, and His Word manifests that light, and the light is life. We can't survive without life. We can't survive without the Word of God. We wouldn't be here. Nothing would be here without God breathing His message in Genesis 1. We wouldn't be here without Christ breathing His message when He took on flesh and came to the earth. And that's the parallel relationship that John is bringing in. A lot of Genesis stuff he's bringing in, but he's going to make eternal points off of the Genesis points. And that means we've got to go back and look at Genesis, just like we've been doing. Look back at Genesis with a spiritual eye, not just with a physical eye. Not just, oh, cool, this is the creation of the physical earth and, the physical planets and the sky. There's a lot more to it than that. You look at the order of how everything went down. God was teaching all kinds of spiritual sermons in the words He spoke in creation. And that's what John is pointing out here. And John is going to bring all of this to light in his gospel account. That Jesus still is that light. He still is that life within Him. And He came to give us that eternal light and that eternal life. John 8, verse 12, I'll close with this. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, those two words are used once again, light and life. You can't have one without the other. You can't. And so John is going to use these two words throughout the entire biblical record, throughout the entire book of John. He's going to use the word life and light more than anyone else will use it in the Word of God. It's astounding. We'll see that vein continue as we go through the book. I have a lot more I want to talk about this, and I don't want to wait until next week. So my plan is for us to come back together, and we've got a lot of more things to add to this, a lot of fascinating concepts of this light that Jesus is bringing into the world. So we're just going to go ahead and make it all one cohesive day, and we'll talk more about this this evening at 5 p.m. So hope to see you back at that time, and I appreciate your attention this morning. I'd like to invite anyone who needs the help in the prayers of the congregation to please let that be known. We can't help if we don't know you're struggling or suffering or have need of prayers or have need of study, have need of more knowledge into God's Word. But we can't help unless you let us know. If there's anyone here who's yet to come to Christ for salvation, He is the light, He is the life, He always has been, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And still to this very day, He is the light that you need in your life. He can give you life, and He can give it to you more abundantly than anything you've ever seen on this earth. Eternal life. If that describes your need, then come and let us know while together we stand and sing.